This morning we're going to open up with the introduction to the book of James. The book of James. So if you open up your Bibles to James chapter 1. And then we'll open up in a word of prayer, get a little introduction, and go into James chapter 1. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, once again, we do want to thank you for your word you've given us to look into. And Lord, you put these particular books in the Bible for a reason. Lord, you have your revelation to us to look into and your Holy Spirit to bring us into the truth of your word. So I ask God this morning for every one of us that's listening, that's going to listen down the road, that you will bring us into the truth of your word by the power of the Holy Spirit. But also pray and ask for those that don't know you, that's going to listen, that you will draw them unto yourself, and that you will grant them salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, once again I ask that you will empower me by your Holy Spirit to preach your word for your glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray and ask. Amen. The Epistle of James. The Epistle of James is a how-to book of the Christian life. It is one of the most practical books in the New Testament because it offers instruction and exhortation to Christians who are experiencing problems, as all of us will experience problems in our Christian walk. You see, the Epistle of James is more practical than doctrine, but James contains theological statements, as James 1:17, God is the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, meaning that He is the Creator and is unchangeable. Jesus is the Lord of glory in chapter 2, verse 1, a reference to Jesus' deity. James asserts that Jesus is coming again in chapter 5, and when He does, He will judge all humanity. There's a major theological question in the book of James we're going to get to in James chapter 2. Faith and works. We're going to dig into that starting next week. You see, for James, works is a natural result of faith. When a person truly believes in something, that person will act on that belief. With this letter, James was sounding a wake-up call to all Christians. Get your life in line with what you believe. Let me share with you also the introduction from the Study Bible. The ESV version of James from Pastor John MacArthur. James, the introduction to James, like all the general epistles except Hebrews, is named after its author. Of the four men named James in the New Testament, only two are candidates for authorship of this epistle. No one has seriously considered James the Less, the son of Alphaeus, or James the father of Judas, not Iscariot. Some have suggested James the son of Zebedee and the brother of John, but he was martyred too early to have written it. That leaves only James, the oldest half-brother of Christ and brother of Jude, who also wrote the epistle that bears his name. James had at first rejected Jesus as Messiah, but later he believed. He became the key leader in the Jerusalem church, being called one of the pillars of the church, along with Peter and John. Also known as James the Just, because of his devotion to righteousness, he was martyred around AD 62, according to first century Jewish historian Josephus. James wrote with the authority of one who had personally seen the resurrected Christ, who is recognized as an associate of the apostles, and who was the leader of the Jerusalem church. James most likely wrote this epistle to the believers who were scattered. These recipients, the Jewish believers who had been dispersed, possibly as a result of Stephen's martyrdom, but more likely under the persecution of Herod Agrippa I. James with this devotion to direct, pungent statements on wise living is reminiscent to the book of Proverbs. It has a practical emphasis, stressing not theological or theoretical knowledge, but godly behavior. James wrote with a passionate desire for his readers to uncompromisingly be obedient to the Word of God. There's two challenges in the book of James. One is, chapter 2, what is the relationship between faith and works? We'll be looking at that. Also, in chapter 5, do the promises of healing refer to the spiritual or the physical realm? We will look at them as we come across them. But today, James chapter 1, surviving TNT. The biblical response to surviving that. In your bulletins, we can see that TNT, I've listed here, means trials and tribulation. Or trials and temptation, I should say. Trials and temptation. So, the biblical response for surviving trials and temptation. I will read to you the entire epistle, or chapter 1, I should say, and come back and we'll break it down a little bit here. So, James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Verse 12. Blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So here we see, in chapter 1, verses 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Surviving TNT. Number 1, trials. Trials. Trials are an outward circumstances. Comes conflicts, sufferings, and sometimes many troubles encountered by all believers of Jesus Christ. Trials are not pleasant and may be extremely grievous, but believers are to consider them as opportunities for rejoicing. Troubles and difficulties are a tool which God uses to refine and purify us in our faith, which produces patience and endurance. So number 1 is trials. When we go through trials in life, James says we need to count it all joy. A would be count it all joy under trials. Let's go back and look in the book of Acts in the early church, because they faced a lot of trials when the church was established. Go to Acts chapter 4 first. Acts chapter 4, and I'll read verses 1 through 22. Acts 4. Verse 1. "Now as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" Verse 8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. There, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. In seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name.' So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.' So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old, of whom this miracle of healing had been performed." Go to chapter 5, verse 12. Chapter 5 of Acts, verse 12. "And through the hands of the apostles," we'll read verses 12 through 42. "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least a shadow of Peter passing by or passing might fall on some of them. Verse 16. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in a common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officer came and did not find them in prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told him, saying, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain went to the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. Verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked him, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on the tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in respect by all people, and commanded them to put the apostles out for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Judas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census, and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." And they agreed with him. When they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let him go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So as you can see, from the book of James, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So I want to take you back to the early church and see that the apostles, as they went out to preach Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ, they suffered many trials. They were beaten for the cause of Christ. But they counted all joy, he said. So they departed from the presence of the council, verse 41 says, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Peter goes on to say in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 9, says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, grace to you, and peace be multiplied. He says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, he says, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and the glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So A, under trials, just count it all joy when you fall into trials. Go back to the opening text. Let's go down to verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy, we looked at that, when you fall into the various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So B, under trials, is trials produces patience in the believers of Jesus Christ. Patience. What is patience? A definition of patience is bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint. Steadfastness is also patience. Steadfast despite opposition, difficulty, or adversity. Steadfastness is fixed firmly in place, not subject to change. A firm belief, a determination, or adherence, loyal. You see, when me and you, as Christians, fall into trials, it's hard to count it all joy. The Bible says we're supposed to. It's hard to have patience. But the text says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. You see, patience. The word translated testing of your faith first. The term means tested or approved. Here in the study Bible, it was used for coins that were genuine and not debased. The testing of them. The aim of testing is not to destroy or afflict, but to purge and refine. It is essential to our Christian maturity or growth. If you even look back, for even Abraham's faith had to be tested. The meaning of patience transcends the idea of bearing affliction. It includes the idea of standing fast under pressure, with a staying power that turns adversities into opportunities. So trials produces patience. I want to take you once again to let's go to 2 Peter this time. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 11. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So patience. To me, patience. You have to cry out for help from the Holy Spirit for self-control. Self-control over your fleshly desires that want to lash out when you go through trials and persecution for the Lord. Also, James says, back to James chapter 1. He says, ask for wisdom. Ask for wisdom. One thing I want to share with you though, the great apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, let me read that to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. The thorn in the flesh. The text states in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We must remember that. We must remember that trials produces patience, and we must lean on the power of the Holy Spirit to get us through. That's why we have to ask for wisdom. Back to James once again. James chapter 1, verse 5 now. Because when we go through trials in our lives, we got to count it all joy. It produces patience. But you got to ask for that wisdom. Verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Wisdom. God gives it not necessary information on how to get out of the trouble, but this wisdom is insights. Insights on how me and you, powered by the Holy Spirit through His Word, can get through the difficulties. You see, when we ask for wisdom, it's not the wisdom, God, help me get out of this situation. It's the wisdom that God, help me to get through this situation for Your glory. As the study Bible says, it is not more information about how to avoid times of testing, but instead, it's a new perspective. A new perspective on our trials. You see, the wisdom of God, first of all, begins with a genuine reverence for God, that He's in control of every situation. It's also the wisdom to be steadfast and have confidence that Almighty God is in control of every circumstance in the lives of His children. And that through them trials that He brings me and you through, that He guides us through, is for His glory, not ours. I want to take you back and read you the value of wisdom from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Verse 1 through 22. The value of wisdom. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is the shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the ways of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. Verse 10, when wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse sayings. Verse 13. From those who lead the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil, and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from a seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth, and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the dead. None who go to her, nor do they regain the paths of life. Verse 20. So you may walk in the way of goodness, and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. Wisdom. Wisdom to go through trials. Wisdom for understanding and resting in God's perfect word and in God's perfect will. This wisdom gives us the strength to endure and also teaches us to glorify Jesus Christ with all of our words, our actions, our thoughts, and our deeds. That's the wisdom we have to cry out for, the wisdom of the Bible, the wisdom that God gives to us through the Holy Spirit, as we look into His Word and ways, as we fall into trials and come into trials in our lives. That's the wisdom we have to cry out for. Temptation. Surviving temptation. The biblical response to that. Verse number 12. James 1. James 1, 12 through 15. Blessed is a man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So James says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Go over to James chapter 5, verse 7 through 11. Be patient and persevering. James 5, verse 7. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the earthly and latter rain? You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. Ye have heard of the perseverance of Job, and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So how do we handle temptation? We need to endure, obey God, and be strengthened, that He will bring me and you through it. But we must not disobey and give in to our fleshly desires and sin. You see, God promises in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation is overtaking you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Back in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. What a way to get through temptation. We know that temptation will come. in our lives. But we must remember that it's not coming. Let no one say when he's tempted, the text says, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyway. If we keep our temptation that comes in our lives in a biblical perspective, we know that God will strengthen us to handle that temptation. He will make a way of escape. That may not be from it, because it says that you may be able to bear it, to endure that temptation. Endurance. Obey God. Rely on His power, His provision, His promises, and His providence. And do not sin. Do not be enticed to sin. Let's conclude. So we looked at surviving TNT, part one of the book of James. We looked at trials. How are we supposed to handle trials that come in our lives? James says, count it all joy. Because trials produces patience and perfects us. And we need to ask for wisdom, which God gives liberally to His children. That's how we handle trials. And temptation? Endure. Endure temptation. Power by the Holy Spirit. Do not sin. Obey God. Rely on His power, His provisions, His promises, and we know His providence. He's in total control of every situation. And don't sin. Do not disobey and sin. Easier said than done. Easier said than done. As we go through trials and temptations in our lives, we know it's so hard to walk through them. That's why we've got to rely on the promises of God and His Word, that He will get us through. Verse 16 now. That's why I want to conclude with 16 through 27. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So, when truly born-again believers hear God's Word, their response should match Scripture. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 14:15 says, if you love Me, He says, keep My commandments. Verse 21-24 says of John 14, he who has My commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves Me. And he who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I will love him and manifest Myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to Him, Lord, how is it that You will manifest Yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6 states, 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6. Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. Surviving TNT. When you come into trials in our lives, the Bible tells us to count it all joy and to be patient and to ask for wisdom and to remember that when temptation comes our way, we need to endure and obey God, His Word, and rely on His power, His promises, His provisions, His providence, and one more P, His protection. As the psalmist said in God's little promises, Psalm 91:7, a thousand may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Let's pray. Father, as we close your word today, we just thank you for the promises you put in there. Because every one of your children, we're going to face trials in our lives. Many things will come our way that we will not be able to understand. That's why we have to ask for that wisdom. We have to, as your word says, count it all joy. And I know that's a hard thing for us to do when we get in trials, when things are not going the way we should think they should go. When we get persecuted for our faith, when people turn away from us, that's why we have to ask for wisdom. Your wisdom to help us through. Your power to help us endure that temptation. But we thank you, Lord, that we know that greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. You have given us your Holy Spirit. That's why as we read the book of Acts in chapter 4 and 5, we knew they were stood bold in the power of the Holy Spirit before the leaders, people that persecuted them for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I know we can. We have that same Holy Spirit. Help us, Father, to yield to that. Help us to obey you, your word and your ways, and our thoughts and our words and our actions and deeds, that we may not sin against you. But I pray for those that don't know Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, those that are going to listen to this CD. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot overcome these situations. It takes a supernatural power to help that to get us through. So first of all, I pray that you will awaken them to the sin of their life and the need of a Savior. That they will fall to their knees and cry out for salvation. That you will grant them salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ. And once you save them, empower them also by your Holy Spirit to walk the Christian walk you have for them. Help us never not be hungry for your word in your ways. We want this to be for your glory, Father, not for ours. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.